Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So weird that my happy hour with my soulmate, Suli McCullough, would be prefaced by me talking about my mattress.
Think about how different your life would have been if you had a Casper mattress back in the day when you made out with Suli in the clubs.
Oh, sorry. Too creepy? Casper.
A lot creepy.
Yeah.
But hey, it's a comfortable
ladies.
Mattress.
I've been out with Suli and the ladies going to need the Casper to stay cool.
It would support your hips, too.
So, wow. Yeah. Well, that's aspirational for me, but technically it is softer under your shoulders, firmer under your hips for healthy alignment and extra support. And who knows? Who
you
knows?
Never know what's going to
happen. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Say no more. Say no more.
Suli comes over. Magic happens in the Casper.
Breathable foams, right? Designed to keep you cool all summer long.
You know what's in those foams, too, by the way?
What?
Suli's laugh.
Magic.
His laugh.
Yes, exactly.
It's comforting.
Bedding, bed frames, even a dog bed. Casper has everything you need, except Suli McCullough, to create the perfect sleep environment. Casper also has free shipping and returns, so yeah, try it. 100 nights, risk-free, your own house.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, you don't love it, send it back. No, no one ever does that.
Why would you?
I feel like why waste the breath saying it? Okay, Casper, try yours. 100 nights, free shipping and returns. Casper.com, type in Stephanie for $100 off. Casper.com, type in Stephanie for $100 toward the purchase of select mattresses. Additional terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms. Time for Suli.
Yeah, we had a dream about a happy hour. Suli McCullough's here. Happy, happy hour.
Happy, happy hour, everybody. What's up? Suli McCullough, a.k.a. Crazy Legs in the house.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm new here. Relatively new here.
Yes.
Okay.
Where does the Crazy Legs thing come from?
All right. I played this character in the Wayans Brothers spoof movie, Don't Be a Menace to South Central,
while drinking your juice in the hood.
And I played this dude named Crazy Legs.
Gotcha.
Who was the best dancer in the hood.
Okay.
Who was also in a wheelchair. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Already funny.
Oh, yes.
Already funny.
But his famous line was.
And then my famous line is,
yeah, I have a dream.
Yeah.
And what my dream was to be MC Hammer. And so
that's
Crazy
right.
Legs
yeah.
gets to be MC Hammer.
Okay. Yeah.
That was a fantastic scene.
Yes. And it's something that I did a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
That movie has pure cult status.
Absolutely.
It is a weed classic.
Yeah.
Yes. It is a weed classic.
And played on
weed.
Comedy Central
and by weed.
A lot.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's it's the more ghetto version of Half Baked.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So just that gives you
gotcha.
Context.
Yep.
So
I'm gonna have to watch that this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Treat yourself.
Okay.
It's a pretty funny movie. Like we were really hungry when we made it. We were all just young comics trying to.
I thought you meant munchies hungry.
That too. Yeah, I mean, fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
But Fridays had come out like 6 months before, and
right.
that was the hood movie that made the impact. And we were like, oh, we got something for you, America. So Don't Be a Menace is a parody of all those
right.
hood genre movies.
Sure. Yeah.
And we watched all those movies and made a comedy version. When the film first came out, the funny thing was that people actually didn't know it was a parody movie.
Huh.
Some people went to the theater as, oh, cool, another hood movie.
Right.
You know, which that's
despite
hilarious to me.
The title that took up all the space on the poster.
Yeah. And there was actually a method to that madness. Mm-hmm. We figured by having the longest title, we would take up all the letters so they couldn't put the other movies, and you would be forced to just go see Don't Be a Menace.
Menace Successor. Okay, there's no time for any of
this.
Yeah,
there's no time for all this. This is it.
This is the one that's here.
Yes. So that's Crazy Legs in a nutshell.
Even if the other movie was just Tron. Which is
yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
No.
Right. Right. We're out of T's. I ain't going to see no on. I ain't seeing on.
As someone that used to put the comics names on the marquee at the Laugh Factory.
With the poll.
With the poll.
You did that?
Yeah. When I was like 22. Yes.
Wow.
So I know about running out of T's.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
I'm running out of T's. Yeah. I know. What's up?
Well, there was a time where I was considering going as Sully Mack, just because it's easier.
Right.
Yeah.
McCullough's such a long name.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Then that motherfucker Bernie.
Yeah.
Bernie Mac.
And then Bernie took my thunder.
Got my Mac.
Right.
Bernie. Yeah.
Right.
Remember last time the first time we saw each other in a long time, we realized that we've.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Take it back.
We fell in love making out in the balcony of the.
Of
Laugh
the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Uh-huh. Not like making out, like necessarily, like literally, sort of.
You know, here's what it was.
We just would sit up there and giggle.
Here's what it was. Like, we instantly connected.
Yeah.
And we both were just goofy and silly. And there was like a mutual, oh, I dig this person. She gets it.
Like we would have been separated from the first grade on. You'd be like, no,
yes.
You too.
Yes. We would have definitely been moved across.
Right. Yeah.
The like, you know, and we would have been disappointed. You but know, at recess,
speaking
we would have been
T-words,
right back together.
Yeah. Speaking of the T, you know, we would have been trouble.
Yep. Hell yeah.
Yeah, we would have been in trouble.
But if you run out of T's, you're just rubble.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What?
What?
Huh? Okay.
No.
Wait, what?
Huh? Sully. Okay, so the happy hour was born because we were like, if Donald Trump makes you want to drink and swear, this is the podcast for you.
Oh, and because he definitely makes me want to do that.
Yeah, because sometimes I need
so
before.
Fuck him.
Yeah, yeah, before the regular show, before the regular FCC. Show. It's like a colon blow. I have to go. I hate that motherfucker. I fucking hate that motherfucker so much. He's such a fucking cocksucking motherfucker. I fucking hate him.
And let it out.
Okay,
it out.
And three,
let
two,
it
one.
Out. Let it out.
It's the Stephanie.
You know,
show.
I have to ask you, Stephanie, because. Mm. You live and breathe the fight.
Yeah.
And how do you get away from
I'm
it?
I'm broken.
You're broken.
Well, it was SoulCycle.
It was SoulCycle. Now you don't have that anymore.
I'm done.
But, you know, I'm fascinated by that because I find myself having to pick and choose my moments to jump in and fight the fight. And then there are times where I have to just get back and get away from it.
I know. We talked about this before. When you can't disconnect like us, I think it really is a psychological. You watch me have a nervous breakdown every commercial break, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
My dog talk gets even weirder. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, who's got oven mitt hands?
You told us the dogs talk back to you today.
Sometimes.
And you understand.
But that's my service to America, Sully.
Yeah.
That's my service to America. So no matter how badly you are doing in Donald Trump's America, you can tune in and go, oh, at least I'm not that fucking lady. Good God.
Well, you did.
I have a nervous breakdown for America every day. So
yeah.
Go, wow,
yeah.
Geez.
You did admit that you watched a Sandra Bullock movie the other night instead of the news.
Yes. My ex used to say my barometer of a good movie is if Julie Roberts is in it. And that also goes for Sandra Bullock.
Yes.
So yes, I just, I disconnect and watch
you have
pretty
to.
Shiny movies.
You have
sure.
to sometimes.
Yeah.
Sure.
People that have way better love lives than I do, which I have none, so anyone has a better love life.
Well, I think we're both in that same boat. Maybe
really?
That's why we're connected. What?
Well.
And that boat is the love boat.
Think of me as Julie. I'm just in my knee socks handing out the blow.
And you know I'm Isaac. You know I'm Isaac.
I would fall.
I got that little bar that travels everywhere.
I was going to say, I would fall in love with the bartender.
Yeah, of course you would. Of course you would.
I have the t-shirt that says, I'm not sure how much more of Trump my liver can handle.
Hey, I got that special drink for you, lady.
Ooh, that was a combination of
Isaac.
Bill Cosby and Isaac.
Oh,
yeah.
Isaac.
Yeah.
Oh,
wait.
Hey,
that's a different kind of bartender.
So, all right, well, let's talk. You were born in Cupertino, California.
I was.
Where is that?
I was born in Los Angeles. I grew up in Cupertino, California. Cupertino, California, my junior high school is was across the street from Apple Computer.
Home to Apple, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay. And you've heard of Apple.
Yes.
Yes. They are.
Yeah, yeah, they're their thing. Okay. It seemed to have worked out for them. So I remember in junior high, we took a field trip to Apple Computer. Yeah. And, you know, all our computers were free. Like, it was a great place to grow up because Apple was growing at the time, and it taught me to think globally.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because here was this upstart company that was changing the face of the globe, and we were in this area.
Yeah.
Like, that was our, you know, that's our factory town.
Yeah.
And so very early on, you know, I thought bigger than just my surroundings, which was a great thing for what I'm doing now, mm-hmm. for comedy, for entertainment, for all, you know, that what you're doing has far-reaching implications bigger than just your little space.
Yeah.
So that was one of the best things about growing up in Cupertino.
And so now, how old are your kids now? Because they are, okay, I have
full-grown kids. Like, my daughter is 21.
Yeah.
She's a senior in college. She goes to Spelman College, which is an HBCU.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But all colleges matter.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. Did you see what I did there?
Did you see what I did there?
All colleges matter.
I was going to do the, in case you haven't noticed, that's a black college.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. So she's going back to school next week. She's going into her senior year.
Wow.
She loves it. She's thriving. It's a beautiful thing. It's
yeah.
a great. She went to school in a very kind of, she went to a private school here in Los Angeles. And that, and you know, with the Kardashians.
Yes.
So
okay. yes.
that's where she comes from. So I yes. think a all-black college was a nice little.
Daddy's got a little. Guy's got a little juice. Daddy's got a little big Tonight Show bucks.
Daddy's still paying off her high school. I'm not Lori Loughlin. Right? I'm just a black dad trying to make it happen.
And your son is a successful child model?
He had a nice little stint where he was doing a bunch of modeling. He's now playing basketball, so he's kind of a little jock.
I'm just saying, Sula McCullough family, disproving white supremacy every day.
Yes,
take a look.
Yes,
smart.
Yes.
Prettier than you'll ever be in your entire life.
Kind.
Yes.
Yes.
I know.
Kind. So he's starting high school, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
He's 14. We both wear the same size clothes.
I know.
We're both boys size large.
Yeah. Yes.
14
I'm told
16.
That black don't crack.
Yeah. Well, that's true. As long as it has health care. So I have like kind of grownish kids.
Yeah.
You know, I have a 21-year-old and, you know, she goes out drinking and you know, I follow her on Instagram and I see her having fun and
You're
the
like,
dad in me has to step back and go, wow, she's at that phase.
You aren't being a menace while you're drinking your juice, are you?
No,
honey?
I wouldn't say that. No, okay. I wouldn't say that.
Now, you also played Mouse on...
on the Jamie Foxx show.
Yeah, yes. Have you ever played a character with a name or is it just Crazy Legs, Mouse?
Crazy Legs, Mouse. In the Charlie Sheen movie, I did a movie with Charlie Sheen and Anastasia Kinski.
Scary
called,
movie too.
No. Well, no. I was in that. I played the crazy clown under the bed in that. So yeah.
What was that voice like?
That voice was. Oh, he just laughed a lot. It was kind of Crazy Legs-ish. It was.
Okay. Yeah.
It was creepy.
That's a creepy.
It was
creepy.
That is creepy.
Yeah. That was creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that was that was that.
But anyway.
Yeah,
on.
I have played a lot.
Charlie Sheen has done this happy hour.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I love Charlie Sheen.
He was a sweetheart.
We did a movie about skydiving called Terminal Velocity.
Yes.
And it was him,
I remember that.
And him and Anastasia Kinski. My claim to fame in that movie, I played this dude named RoboCam. And I don't know why that was the name of the guy. But
keeping
I was
with the no name.
Yeah, with the no name thing.
Right.
So I was the guy that would videotape the jumps. Like when you jump tandem, there's a guy on the ground that videotapes and then sells you the videotape so you can have that memory. And what I liked about Terminal Velocity is my character lived. Like that was a time where black actors, if they were in a movie, they definitely were getting killed first.
Yeah.
And I made it to the end of that movie, so I felt like, wow, I'm making progress.
You're James, not much danger if you're just holding the camera on the ground.
Yeah, right, right. So, but you never know.
Yeah,
you
well,
never know. The lens could crack.
Yeah, it could be hit by Nastasia Kinski.
You get shrapnel in your eye. You know, you just never know. James Gandolfini was in that movie, which that was really cool.
What was he like?
He was great. He was great. Like it, we shot in Douglas, Arizona, and that's a town where they just run drugs through that town.
Yeah, pretty
and
much. So, it's a border town.
Yes, it is. It very much is a border town. And me and some of the other actors, we decided to go into a bar one night. We were like, oh, let's just go see what Douglas is all about. That was not a good movie. Like, it literally was like that scene in that Eddie Murphy movie with Nick Nolte where the bar stops.
Yeah.
Except there were no cameras.
Like racist E.F. Hutton.
Animal House.
Yes, 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 absolutely. Yeah. It was absolutely that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, we won't be staying at this bar.
No. See, if you, for shits and giggles, you should have gone up to a table and gone, do you mind if I dance with you?
Right, right. Yeah, I wanted to do that, but I also wanted to make it through this experience. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
To live.
And complete the movie.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, Jim Ward, our voice guy for many years, I was going to say, I'm not sure that... I know what you're saying about the black character, but Jim got killed, I think, in the first 10 seconds of every movie he was ever in.
Really?
The first Spider-Man
Remember Spider-Man?
Movie. Yeah.
I would love to see his reel.
No, I learned.
It's just him dying.
He's a Spinal Tap drummer.
Yeah.
I learned to never turn to a friend and go, oh my God, look, it's Jim, because then I missed it, then he was already dead.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look, it's Jim. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Jim.
Oh, well.
And in three,
two, one. And Jim's been blown
Goodbye,
up.
Goodbye, Jim. Goodbye, Jim. That was great. That was great, Jim.
He was Kenny. You killed Kenny.
Yeah.
Hold that thought, Sully. I just am feeling a little girly. He does that to me.
Well, you want to look the way you did when you first met.
Yeah.
Years ago.
I'm in the balcony of the Laugh Factory. You know what? I finally saw the commercials with the real people doing the Plexiderm. It is magic for everybody.
You don't need a commercial with real people. You've got a mirror. You can look in the mirror and see it happen.
I'm telling you, I know stuff about stuff. I'm still a lady of a certain age in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Plexiderm, I'm telling you, if you have, like, look, see the good news, look, I'm smiling. The bad news, look at that, look at those under my eyes, look at that.
Well, you know what, go wrinkles. Get your Plexiderm right now. We'll do that before the next commercial break, and we'll fix you up.
I got more baggage under my eyes than in my love life. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. If you have crow's feet, wrinkles, under eye bags, you can look younger. And I mean, I'm telling you, this works so fast. You'll, like, look away for a minute, you look back in the mirror, and you'd be like, who dat?
Magic.
Right. Right, it's like Bewitched stuff happening.
You can't see my magic fingers right now, but I'm making magic fingers.
Looky at me.
I fixed you.
Yeah, those Plexiderm, I'm telling you, you got to try it. Everybody is raving about it, all the sexy liberals. Plexiderm, 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Go to tryplexiderm.com. Type in sexy liberal for my discount. That is tryplexiderm.com. The code is sexy liberal, or call 800-685-1292 and mention sexy liberal. We're all sexy liberals now with triplexiderm.com. So, yeah, isn't that interesting? You mentioned Charlie Sheen, James Gandolfini. Isn't it interesting? Sometimes the people that play assholes are the nicest
people. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, Charlie and I got along really well. Yeah.
I couldn't believe how sweet he was. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And he's a really smart guy. Yeah. Like, a really smart guy. He's a classic car collector.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that really likes cars. So we bonded in that way. And, you know, there's not a lot to do in Douglas, Arizona. So
you were also a writer for Tonight Show. How many cars does Jay Leno have?
Have
you seen them all?
Way too many. I'm a sneaker collector, and I don't have nearly as many sneakers as he has cars.
The Imelda Marcos of sneakers.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got, I don't even know how many do I have.
How many sneakers do you have?
I've sold off a lot, but I probably still have over 100.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I have a little storage unit.
I was going to ask, where does one keep that many sneakers?
I keep them in the storage unit, and as my kids are getting older now, and they're starting to get into sneakers, I sell some sneakers that I'm not wearing, and then I reinvest it into my kids. So it's coming full circle,
right?
Which is interesting.
Yeah. Well, you can get a penny for a Crazy Leg shoe, you know.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. My little baby shoe from the movie, I still have. Yeah, I have that.
And I marched with you, and so
I rock cool sneakers.
Oh, you got the kicks. You got
and
the
I
kicks.
Put them to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't, right?
Now I have. Yeah. Now I do have this rule that if I'm not going to wear it, I'm not going to keep it. So I am sort of.
Yeah.
Letting things go, but how many cars
does Jay have?
So many that he's got four shows, right? Like the four car shows. Like I in the year I was there, I think I saw the same car maybe four times.
Yeah.
But wow. That's a lot of cars.
Yeah.
That's a lot of cars. And then the really old ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the best.
You see them every now and again. Yeah.
That was a great year to be there, by the way.
Yeah.
It was the first. It was the year that Obama got the nomination and actually was elected president. So it was the first time a sitting U.S. president ever appeared on a late night show. It's happened since, but that was the first time.
Yeah.
So being the only black writer on that show and finding out one day, I found out from Jay, I was in the kitchen area in the morning and he said, Obama's going to be on the show.
Yeah,
and I thought he was messing with me.
Right.
I thought he was messing with me. It's like, oh, yeah, that's hilarious. I'm the only black writer, first black president. Of course he's going to be on the show. And then I went to my office and all of a sudden I started seeing all these sort of Secret Service-y looking dudes walking around to prep.
Right, to case the place. Yeah.
Exactly. So I was like, oh, he was being real. That wasn't a joke.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I figured, oh, great. I'm going to get to meet Obama in the best way possible.
Right.
As it got closer to him doing the show, they were like, just stay in your office on that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, just stay in your office. So, aww. And it wasn't just me. It was everyone kind of had to stay in their
and
office.
And so you
it
had
was,
a, what you're saying is you had a dream.
I had a dream and it didn't.
No.
Yeah. I got to see out of my window, they had a sniper, because it's the president. You've got to protect him. And that was the closest I got to Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't we stay in a hotel in Charlotte?
Where we did.
We were doing the convention.
It was.
And we were like, why are there so many people with guns on our
Michelle Obama was staying at the hotel across the golf course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they had to close off like the entire perimeter.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just got stuck in Charlotte a couple of weeks ago.
Oh.
And that was not fun.
I'm sorry. My mom lives there.
Oh, she does?
I'm going
really?
A little bit, yeah.
I would love to be in the city of Charlotte, which looked great.
Yeah.
I got stashed in a hotel on the outskirts of Charlotte.
Well, that's where we were.
Is that where you guys were?
Yeah, we were
really?
In Ballantyne or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's near where my mom lives.
Yeah.
My 96-year-old Trump voting Republican, Fox News watching mom.
Yeah.
And the good news is she's going a little deaf, so that Fox News is on super loud.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so
oh,
you don't
no.
miss a word. You don't miss a racist nuance.
Oh, no. The blonde is really blonde.
In HD.
Yes.
Yeah. Their whispers are yells.
Yeah. Yeah. She's perky and angry.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Yeah, they don't bother whispering.
Yeah, no.
No, they don't. No.
So, Sully, we were talking on the regular show. You were saying that you don't do political stuff when you're doing
stand-up.
You
know what? I've made the shift. I'm touring this year with Sean Wayans, which has been great. We're just doing a two-person show. It's me and him.
Yeah.
So I go out cold to start the show. I do a half hour, and then Sean does his set.
Yeah.
And what I found is they're already trying to figure out if they can trust you.
Yeah.
And comedy is about, it's about trust. You have to create a level of trust for people to be open and go on a ride with you. And before, I felt like people would trust it because they were like, oh, this is a comedy club. This guy's a professional.
Yeah.
I'm going to open myself to go along this ride. I think as things have become so politically divisive, that trust has waned. So I made a conscious decision to just focus on things that humanize us, that bring us together. And in a way, that becomes political.
We almost have to do that work because he is the most divisive president we've ever
absolutely.
Had.
Absolutely.
We have to take this country back.
Yes, we do.
One person,
absolutely.
One friend,
absolutely.
One loved one at a time. But, Sully, I think what's hard for me is, well, not only this is my job, that's what we talk about, but it's why we do FunStack, because we even mentally need, we're like, oh, look at this cat. Look, there's a cat video. But what I was going to say is what's hard for me is I just feel like this is so abnormal that they don't get to say, oh, are you judging me? Like, oh, just because I support him doesn't mean I'm, how can, I cannot get my mind around, then I'm sorry, you are racist, or you're racist adjacent, or you're just awful adjacent, if you, especially now, you still support this guy?
I feel like we're in a place now where people can openly do racist things, but their only hang up is to be called a racist.
Right.
That's where they get offended.
Right.
Like, they're not offended by what they're doing. They're not offended by the hate that they're spewing out.
Right.
They're offended by being labeled for what they're doing.
That's a great point.
And that's the problem. And you're not going to fight that by calling it out, if that makes sense. Yeah. I think you have to be an example to bring people into your light, and that way, then they do the work themselves.
Yeah.
Where they're like, hey, wait a minute, I like that guy. That guy's interesting. Maybe I need to re-examine what's really going on with me.
Well, I mean, it's like this outrage over the donor list, which is already public information. It's like,
absolutely.
Why are you embarrassed of who you support?
Right.
You know that, I mean, obviously you know something's wrong.
Right.
You know he's a racist.
Right.
If you're embarrassed or you don't want to be identified, you know, as a
But,
Trumper.
You know, I thought about this the other day in relation to everything that's going on. Like, I equated it back to relationships.
Yeah.
If you go through a breakup in a relationship, there's always that one person that goes, this is what that other person did. This is why they were terrible. This is why they're a piece of shit. You really only grow if you go, what did I do to contribute to the failure of this relationship? And you have to look at things in the racially in the same way. It's like, you can't just point to the other person. You have to look at what's your inner poison.
Well, you know, did you see, oh my God, everybody was talking about this fantastic, the Princeton professor, Professor Gloud.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see him on Nicole Wallace? It was going, you know, viral. But he really got emotional, but really went off on, he said, it's easy to just put it on Trump. He said, but because he said, this is us. This is us. He is just a manifestation of the ugliness that is in us. And until America deals with race, you know, in a way, because it's almost like what you said about relationship. He said, because we don't want to, we want to gloss over and make ourselves feel better. We don't want to deal with.
But you have to do the actual work, and you have to really sit, like, look at yourself and look at what contributing factors that you are making to the problem.
I just realized, first of all, why I'm alone, because that's, I've really had a lot of light bulb moments during this talk. But you're right.
And I gotta,
and also, you and I have the same taste in women, because we've talked before.
Yeah, we do.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, like, it's interesting, because I, you know, like, I'm, you know, I'm in a space right now where I never thought this would happen. I never thought the country would go backwards in terms of our racial acceptance.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good as somebody that...
Blacklash. That's what we said.
It's exactly that.
Amazing.
But it doesn't... You know, you walk around, you feel that. You feel it on stage. You feel it wherever you go. You see these instances where it's happening more and more and it's going unchecked. I don't know if you heard about this, but Chris Redd, who is a cast member on SNL, he was doing a spot at the Laugh Factory a few weeks ago, and some woman in the crowd called him the N-word, and that's in Hollywood on Sunset on a Saturday night. This guy has credits, he's accomplished as a performer, and still because veil has been lifted, like
Trump says
they can bring that to the table, and it's ugly, it's
disgusting.
I don't like it,
but
you know?
I don't understand how parents around the country, you're a parent and a really good one, but that can go, this guy is everything we teach our kids not to be.
Right.
And I just don't.
Right. And so that's why I connected back to, there has to be consequences for this. And right now, we're living in a society that is telling everyone that there are no consequences for this. And that's a real problem, because, you know, you can't have, you can't be walking around feeling something and then being told that what you're feeling is wrong or doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that marginalization is going to come to an head, whether you acknowledge it or not.
Hold that thought, Suli. I have to go powder my nose and do a little Bewitched magic. Time for more Plexiderm. It is just, it's the stuff of magic, this stuff. I'm telling you. I've used lots of facial products.
Yeah. You're like a drug dealer. You're pushing this thing.
I'm telling you. I'm not talking about days or weeks. Plexiderm, a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates under eye bags and wrinkles in minutes. I love the video with real people, because they're just so like, oh, look at me. Oh, they're all looking in a mirror.
That's you every morning getting ready for the show.
Right. Oh, if you look older and tired because of crow's feet, wrinkles, under eye bags, if you do that thing, I do that thing where I keep lift my eyes like this thing.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you do that, you're like, oh, how about this, huh?
You don't need to do
Would someone love me now? Look at that. What about now?
You have Plexiderm. Okay. You don't need to do that with your fingers to your eyes anymore.
All right, you can look younger and just, Suli won't even know. Just talk quietly.
He's going to think it's 35 years ago at the Laugh Factory.
Yes, I'll look like I had a $10,000 nap. Okay. The results backed up by Plexiderm's 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Go to TryPlexiderm.com. Type in sexy liberal for my discount. TryPlexiderm.com. The code is sexy liberal. Or call them 800-685-1292 and mention sexy liberal. I love what you're preaching, brother, because you know why? I was just thinking, we also have, we just talked during the break. We have something else in common. You were very close to Gary Shandling, and that
absolutely
was a shock
absolutely
for you. And you,
yeah, I was
talked a lot,
I was friends with
just,
him for 18 years,
yeah,
and I spent the last 2.5 years seeing him almost every day. We were writing yeah stand up together, and you know he was putting together ideas for a special. So yeah, we were writing together, and you know he was a Buddhist,
yeah,
and we talked about everything, like everything. It was such an honest, truthful place to work from. I really miss his friendship.
Yeah.
But I feel like every day that I had with him informed me for where yeah we are now.
Well, and it was your mentor, and I was saying I lost Howard Lapidus was
yes, yes,
my friend. He owned Yuck Yucks in Buffalo, and I,
yes,
I answered the phone, you know, when I was 21, just out of college. He got me my first real job in radio, and he just died, and I spoke at his memorial this week, and I remember you talking about Gary's memorial, mm-hmm, but it just goes to everything you're saying, that really, it's such an overused statement that, oh, life's too short. I mean, but the fact is, life is too short. You
absolutely
know, like, you never know, like, what, and I do feel like that becomes more important, our relationships with
yes
people we love,
yeah,
and how to help heal this country one person at a time, because, it's so funny, I just got nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame, and I thought, I wouldn't even have had a radio career if it weren't for Howard.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if he knew that. We hadn't talked in a while.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, tell people now who've really
absolutely
helped you.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And, yeah.
And that guidance, that help, that little push
right
got you to where you are right now. Like I said, my time with Gary was so valuable, and I so appreciate it. Like, not a day goes by that I don't think about him or reflect on something that we talked about. Like, he was really good about stressing the importance of being present and being open,
yeah,
and working from a truthful place, that's infused my work. And it really is bigger than what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's really about being,
I think,
you know,
that's such an interesting thing too, about just mentor someone.
Yes.
Like Gary did for you.
Yes.
Like Howard did for me.
Yes.
But also, you know, I mean, I think because that's, we do have just a complete moral and ethical disgrace in the Oval Office. So, you know, unfortunately, we're in a period now where you can't look up to the president. Like,
no, not at all. Not at all.
So we have to do it.
Yes, like,
we
do.
We have to be the leaders in our community,
yes,
in our lives.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have to lead in a way that people allow you to lead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't force someone to believe the right thing.
Yeah.
You know what? But you can guide them.
Yeah.
And you can help them along the way.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm doing these shows, you know, I took these dates because I was like, this is going to be an experience for me to get out there and really connect with people I probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
And so I make myself open where I have conversations and, you know, I give people their time because I feel like just a little exchange is going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
one person at a time.
Exactly.
Yep.
And it sounds like very, you know, new age or whatever, but it feels like what I should be doing right now.
Yep.
You're the Marianne Williamson of comics.
Okay. Right. Okay.
On that note, we're going to go. Thanks for ruining everything.
Marianne Williamson was once a guest on the Happy Hour podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
This was more successful a couple of
months
ago.
Was it loving? Was it very loving?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
We met on
no
the battlefield of love or something.
Stephanie asked her if she's ever had a lesbian experience. So there's that.
She has taken a dip in the Lady Lake, but the wrong one.
Oh, she did?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Said it wasn't for her. I'm like, well, she was doing it wrong.
Whoa, yeah.
So,
yeah. Yes. See, I'm trying to mentor one person at a time.
Yeah, see? I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing.
Spread
I see you
love
play, girl.
I see you. Sully McCullough, you're too smart and dignified. You barely, I think you got, you said shit once, and that was all we got out of
was
you.
Was I supposed to
on the
curse
happier
more?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Would you like to let out a stream of invective?
Let it out. Let's just let,
just
it, let
it
all
out
your feels out.
Let it
motherfucker
out. All right. Now I feel better.
And where can we follow you?
You can follow me at Sully McCullough, SullyMcCullough, on all social media platforms. Yeah, I got a dream.
Yeah. You know, Mary Tyler Moore can turn the world on with her smile. He can heal the world with his laugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Sully McCullough is magic, baby. Happy, happy hour.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Lee Papa, host of AGD Podcast with the Rude Pundit. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll love my show, where every week I talk about politics and interview funny, fascinating, and filthy people. Find it at sexyliberal.com and on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and everywhere else you get your podcasts.